Writers After Hours. Sue Andy is internationally renowned. She is a poet, writer and arts curator who has raised the profile of black artists in the Northwest region and nationally. Her one-woman show, The Story of M, is on the curriculum for A-level English Literature and the MA in Black British Literature at Goldsmiths. I began by asking Sue Andy how it all started.
When my mum died, I decided to write a book about her life. Mm-hmm. So if I ever had children, you know, they have some background. And a reader's group, somebody I knew was in a reading group, and I sent it to them, and they said you should send it to a publisher, which I did. My only copy, mm-hmm. and it was just in the days of cardboard, you know, carbon paper, mm-hmm. the duplicates. Mm-hmm. And they sent it back, God bless them, and said there wasn't enough racism in it.
Oh.
By that time, I'd met some people. Yeah, I think I'd met them who were writing poetry. They were part of Identity Workshop. Mm. Len was in the Post as well.
Yeah.
And they were doing a launch and asked me to put together a fashion show. Mm-hmm. Their launch was A4 paper stapled together. I mean, it wasn't a proper book. Mm-hmm. But I saw that they got paid. Mm-hmm. I think they got the bus fare. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, I could do that. I could get paid for talking.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. And I quite like poetry. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started. And then at the same time, more or less, I got the job as the Black Women Writers Development Worker at Culturewood.
Yeah, and you were sharing an office with Lem.
Yeah, Lem and I were sharing an office and sharing the chaos and sharing the laughter and sharing the arguments and you name it, yeah.
Must be some great, great memories.
I think we were a pain in the backside to the other staff because we're both strong, you know, strong-minded black people and immediately knew we had to fight our corner because liberalism, can't say it, mm-hmm. is a difficult one to fight against. It's let's agree to differ. Well, let's agree to differ means you don't resolve anything.
Yeah.
So there was always a bit of tension there that was going on.
Right.
But Len was on the verge of exploding, so he wasn't there that long that I was there.
Right. Huh. And then how, because you said that, you know, you love talking and I know that you've said that you write to perform. Mm-hmm. So then how did you kind of transition from that performance to things like directing or writing librettos and, yeah, kind of what's the evolution into all these different kind of forms?
So go back to the beginning. So Lem was my teacher mm-hmm. or my mentor, whichever you want to put it. I did my first workshop, I think, from him and my first performance. I joined and co-founded, really, what became Black Scribe, mm-hmm. originally just to be an administrator in the group of black women writers and performers, Tina Tancho, Elaine Nakudo, et cetera, et cetera. And my first performance was also the first time I emceed,
okay.
which is ridiculous. and that was a real eye-opener because people came from London. We thought they were big stars. I mean, they were, but in that sense that we did it. So it was Jean Vinterbreeze, Grace Nichols, John Agard, people like that. And then I started to get onto the circuit of performing. You hear comedians saying about doing the working men's club circuit.
Yeah.
We did that.
Uh-huh.
Lem and I definitely did that. and Henry Normal once told me, never say no. So if somebody offers you something, say, who else is in there? Mm. Or, you know, who's performing? So you get an idea of your fee.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah.
And say yes, and then go away and think about it.
Yeah.
And then if you think, I can't do this, go back and say, I'm so sorry, but my diary's busy on that day.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So with the libretto, I said yes. I thought I'd look at it afterwards. I didn't know how to spell it.
Okay.
And I assumed that the composer would write the music and I'd put the words on top of it. That's easy.
Yeah.
You write the words first.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Not that easy.
No.
So I was lucky that Richard Chu seemed to understand what I was trying to say. Mm. Yeah, very lucky.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So my motto is never say no, just say yes, that's very interesting.
Mm-mm.
And then go on.
Yeah. Okay, wonderful. And with all the projects that you've been involved in, how have you continued to find like time to be creative and time to write? You haven't?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Val Bloom told me many, many years ago, Val Bloom the poet.
Yeah.
When she was a multicultural officer for the Arts Council, then Northwest Arts Board.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can go far, but you've got to leave BAA.
Mm.
You can't do the two. And it is a price you pay. But having said that, I wouldn't have done the variety of things I'd done if not for BAA and its members and working together in partnership.
Yeah.
So I don't regret it.
Mm-hmm.
I think my bank manager does.
Okay.
But I don't regret it, not at all.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And where do you kind of find that courage, you know, to be honest about some of the more difficult topics, and when you're writing about race and performing about race, especially, you know, a few years back, really?
I think my performances regarding race years back were very naive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a bad side, there was the enemy, the white people.
Right.
There was a good side, the black people. Writing poems about South African experience, no idea about empathy with it. But you can't write in that voice because our life is so easy in comparison.
Yeah.
So I think there was a naivety, there was an anger.
Mm-hmm.
I remember finding the evaluation forms I used to do for schools that were so patronising to the teachers. They must have hated me. But because there was nobody, especially in Manchester area or the north, to go to for guidance, then you had to, you ended up exposing your naivety. You know, I used to write things on the evaluation form. If the black artist says something you don't agree to, don't confront them right away. Go home and think about it. I thought, who the hell is she?
Yeah.
Even though I believe that's right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a bit bad to have done it like that.
But maybe you felt you needed to be like that and to protect yourself.
And protect the artists I was working
with. Yeah, yeah.
But then the other side of that is if I worked in a school where there was like one or two black kids, so in this one example that stayed with me, I must have referred to the black girl in the room as sister a couple of times.
Right.
And the white kid said to me, am I not your sister?
Mm.
And I thought, oh my God, I must never do that again.
Mm-mm.
So my wanting to connect with the black kid, I'd pushed out all the white kids in the room.
Yeah.
So, you know, every day is learning, and I think you have to listen.
Mm-mm-mm.
And say, wow, I was wrong there.
Mm.
So I could go back to probably 50% of all the schools I've worked in and said, I think I was out of order on something. Or,
right, yeah. But you were learning on the job. Yeah,
on the job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But did you have kind of people that were sort of mentors or
we were all learning.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. We were all learning.
Yeah.
You know, it was all a new way of working, of being in school and going into schools as practitioners, not as stars.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I do know writers are going and they do a few poems for the whole school.
Yeah.
But they don't actually do sessions with the kids and write.
Yeah.
So we were all learning and the teachers were learning as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember a boys' school in Leeds and this lovely man said, I'm going to sit in with your workshop. Then when you've gone, I'm going to do what you do. And I said, really? I don't think so. And at the break, he said, I can't do what you do. And I said, no, because you're not black and you're not a woman.
Mm.
And he said, yes, I've learned that. So, you know, the whole thing.
Mm. What about creatively, though? Were there writers you were looking to or that had even spurred you on? I mean, like you said, you had Lem, but then were there other...
Well, Lem's different. He's a man, for the start off.
Mm.
And writes from a different point of view and a different style.
Yeah.
Val Bloom, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out as a writer just before Maya Angelou got popular.
Mm.
Thank God. Because in presentation, I recognise a similarity.
Mm.
And I think people would have said, oh, you're copying Maya Angelou.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And people often say, who inspires you, et cetera, et cetera. What I did know I didn't want to do was say, the next poem I'm going to write was inspired by blah, 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 blah. And I wrote it, blah, 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 and I think the poem speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Well, it
yeah.
doesn't, because you just told me where you wrote it, why you wrote it, where you...
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, a little disclaimer before you...
Exactly. Yeah. And because I'm a chattery, I would just start the poem.
Yeah.
Maybe with a very small introduction
mm.
and then try and change the delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And that came about because I wrote a poem about a white woman who gets a perfect suntan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good that she gets arrested for shoplifting suspicion,
mm.
gets sent down, goes into prison, is treated badly,
mm.
a suntan fades, she gets encouraged to appeal,
mm-hmm.
and she comes out
mm.
and decides never to do fake tanning again. It's, I'm putting it in a polite way.
Mm-mm-mm.
And the first few times I did it, people said, oh, did that happen to you? I am a black woman, what are you talking about? So I decided to do it in a different voice.
Right, I see, okay.
And then I got another one, these are poems from years ago,
mm.
About a younger gets pregnant.
Mm.
And in the South, people would say, oh, pregnancy like that is very prevalent in the North, isn't it? What do you mean? So you realise that people have stereotypes that you don't even imagine.
Yeah.
So I would do it in a kind of Manchester accent
mm.
in this side of the country and a posh one on the other side of the country.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
To say, this is happening in your community too.
Yeah. Okay. So from all the work that you've done, whether it's both from your creative or the projects that you've managed, is there one particular moment that you're most proud of?
In my father's house, always.
Mm-hmm.
147 men on stage.
Yeah.
Boom.
Gosh.
Yeah. And repeating it. I mean, I did the first time with 10 artists and I did the next one, 64 men on my own.
Yeah.
Watching those guys, seeing them later going into contact as audience members and seeing them hug each other. I was always in love with Hill Street Blues. Don't you remember that?
Mm-mm.
It was a police program. Do you remember it? The police program. No! Oh, my God. And they always hug each other. It was a CIA kind of a program.
Okay.
And I'd never seen black men do that until I worked with the Hittite Empire from LA who did that.
Mm.
And when they came over, they kind of got men used to hugging each other.
Mm.
And Ronnie Fraser Munro, even a week ago, referred to the fact that in the warm-up sessions with the artists...
Mm.
I made three of them cry.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make three of them cry.
Mm-hmm.
They felt safe enough to cry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in my father's house. And then I suppose...
Yeah, lovely.
Mary Seacole.
Yeah, okay.
Even though I still don't like opera. But I did sit in Covent Garden thinking, oh, my God, I wrote this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Bloody hell, I'm clever.
Yeah, for sure. And what... If you could go back and when you were first starting out, or even the sort of hurdles that you faced or the learning on the job that you had experienced, what kind of advice would you have like wanted to hear, you know, and probably that writers even today kind of still need to hear?
Leave your ego in the bedroom. I recorded a double cassette. Who remembers cassettes? For Bop Records, and it was reviewed by the late Eartha Kitt,
mm-hmm.
who I ended up hanging out with. And when she asked me to go out with her, you know, to take her out, she said, if you want to go out with Eartha Kitt, buy a ticket.
Mm.
If you want to hang out with me, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant, leave that stage person behind you. So, yeah, leave your ego in the bedroom. I get tired of people send me emails. The email's three lines. Then below it, there's 24 lines of what they've done.
Right, okay. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that self-promotion on social media,
that,
aren't I wonderful? Because I'm doing that, and I'm doing that, and I'm doing that. You know, Lemma said to me before now, probably less since, you know, he was at, I've said, how many times have I said you know? At the university, that people have said to him, are you still writing poetry? Do they realise how much we're doing that they're not aware of?
Mm.
So I believe that's the truth. I don't share everything I'm doing.
Mm.
I don't see the point of that. Mm. I don't need that.
Mm.
What I need is a response that it was okay. No, not sure. It wants to be really good. But I don't, and I'm not modest.
Mm.
I just don't see that constant self-publication promoting of themselves. It's just boring.
Yeah, and maybe it was kind of like a bit of a distraction from actually just, sitting down and, you know, writing the work you feel needs to be written.
But also the sisterhood and the brotherhood of that. My outlook crashed a couple of months ago now. And the first thing is, oh, God, I've lost all this. And then I start to think, oh, my God, I've lost emails from Maya Angelou. Mm. I've lost emails from Imma Baraka. Mm. Those moments, to me, are just so precious.
Mm.
And when Imma Baraka came to Manchester, Corin Fowler was introducing him.
Mm.
And she was worried whether to do it or not as a white woman. I said, do it, because I need to meet my man. He didn't know I lived in Manchester.
Mm.
But I'd been with him a few times in the States, and he used to say to me, let's go to the Hood, baby. And with his wife, we'd go to the Hood and get bitten in these horrible dives and things like that. And when he saw me, he just said, oh, my God, baby girl. I like that. I'm not writing about those moments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're mine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't need to say, oh, well, you know, the other day I was, you know.
Mm-mm-mm.
I'm doing shoulder work that emphasises my one. Yeah. You know what I mean? Me.
Yeah. No. That's cool.
And I think if, well, actually, I'll say, Afshan, she's done loads of stuff, but she never, ever brags about it.
Mm.
And when I first met her, she didn't try to sell herself to me.
Mm.
That's the journey I made. And I think people who want to hang out with you because they think they can get something. In fact, I do know somebody that comes to me and says, oh, what are you up to now?
Mm.
And I think, whatever it is, I ain't telling you. You know, because then you're going to say, oh, I wonder, could you put me in contact?
Oh,
I'll
no.
put you in contact if I want to put you in
contact. Yeah. If you feel they fit, if they, yeah. Well, a bit awkward because I'm going to ask you, what are you up to now?
Excuse me. No, I didn't mean to. I just remember something. I was working in Amsterdam in prison. Somebody said to me one day, I've always wanted to work in prison. I said, there's HMP in Manchester down the road.
Yeah.
You know. Uh-huh. What am I working on now? The Mixed Museum is doing, an archive of my work, which is great, but really odd because it's online.
Yeah, it's a nice website, though.
Oh, yeah, I like it, yeah. But I mean, it took me ages to work out, how do you archive my work online?
Right,
you
know,
okay. In a dusty box in the museum.
Yeah.
And then Cambridge University have commissioned professor now, Deirdre Osborne from Goldsmiths, to write a book on my work in theatre.
Mm.
Which again confused me to begin with because I've written about three plays, not very good. But it means all production that I've done.
Mm.
So work I've done with BA and things like that.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
So those are the two main things.
Yeah, exciting.
Oh, no, I'm getting my painting. That's right, I keep forgetting. I'm getting my portrait done, which I'm petrified of.
Oh, yeah.
For Serendipity.
Okay.
They've commissioned paintings and sculptures of 100 black women who have contributed.
Mm.
And I don't want to know if I'm number 99, but I'm in there.
You're in there, very well deserved.
And I'm worried. And I have to say this story because I suppose it's what keeps my ego in place. So when I was a little girl and my mum was white, she had to tell me this afterwards, but she was walking down the street and a guy stopped her, a white guy, and said he belongs to a painting club and he'd love to paint my portrait. Mm. Of course, my mum said, definitely. So I'm new dressed, got my hair done and everything. And my brother is charged to take me to this painting club.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum said I was gone for about half an hour. And then she could hear me coming down the street, bawling.
Oh.
Absolutely bawling, screaming my head off. I'm very precocious as a little girl. And my brother's got a note that says, now we've seen your son, we'd rather paint him.
Oh, no.
Now, my brother was known as the best looking, I think it's the language today, half-caste guys in Manchester. But it wasn't like my big sister. They went to paint my brother.
Yeah.
So my mum, they said, she grabbed both of us, took us back and said, you know, obviously you can't do that.
Yeah.
So they said, okay, we'll paint both of them.
Yeah.
And some time afterwards came to, no, it was oil as well. As a kid, I didn't know what oil was. Two portraits. One of me, my lips are dead thick, my nose is dead flat, I look dreadful. And Malcolm looks gorgeous.
Oh.
And there's about 12 of him. And I think over time I managed to cut up them all. So we never had one. No. But I have that memory of that.
Yeah.
Of that painting. Portrait encounter. So I've already said to Paula, will I be all right? You know what I'm saying? It does worry me. Yeah.
I'm sure this experience will be a lot calmer.
I hope so.
Well, Sue Andy, thank you very much. It's been really fun talking to you.
Thank you.
And yeah, look forward to seeing the work that you're doing now.
The prompt is, I say yes to. Spend 10 minutes writing a poem in which every line begins with the phrase, I say yes to. This is a Culture Word production. Thank you to our funders, The Space and Arts Council England, recorded at Silver Lining Music Studio.